This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, and welcome to Frothy, here with the fun, frivolous, lowbrow froth that your group chat excels at. You guys, once again, there's been a bit of a hiatus, and I can only apologise. Work got an awful lot. Work was just, there was a lot of work and not a lot of time, and I am also trying to prioritise my mental health and my physical health and moving a little bit more. That being said, I've not really moved at all this week, but, you know, I take you back to point A, work is a lot. That being said, there has been so much I want to talk to you guys about, and so I am very sorry for the delay, and I'm really hoping you're still here and are still listening. But if that is the case, or if you've only just found this podcast and you're not quite sure what the hell I'm talking about, then hello, hello, and welcome to Frothy, home of the fun, frivolous, lowbrow froth that your group chat excels at. We're here to talk about the best things in the world of pop culture, from celebrities to influencers and all of the nonsense in between. You're, of course, joined by me, Eloise, a London-based writer who spends a lot of time chatting and reading about the fun, silly topics that maybe your boss, your parents, your partner, whoever, questions why you enjoy so much. Each week, we're going to be talking about the best bits in the world of pop culture, and this is your safe space to enjoy, dissect, and binge on the frothy nonsense that brings you a smile. And my goodness, has there been some froth. We've kind of got like 2 weeks worth of stuff to talk about, and I can't fit it all in without being here for hours. Nobody wants an hours long podcast. That just doesn't sound at all appealing. So what I would say is that if you enjoy the kind of stuff we talk about here and you want, you know, a little roundup each week to see what you're potentially missing or what, I don't know, I feel that you might enjoy, then definitely give the podcast a follow on Instagram, because each week we do a wrap up on stories of the stupidest and the silliest and the most, well, the ones I find most interesting, if I'm going to be honest, but the stories from the frothy news cycle that I think are worth your time. We've got some really good ones this week. We had some really good ones last week. And yeah, they're all linked. You can find them really easily. So definitely give it a visit if that is up your street. With that being said, let's dive right in with the best of the brain rot, which were the silly stories that got us talking this week. I wanted to talk about Chappell Roan, her Grammy acceptance speech, and the backlash she has received from it. I know it's slightly old news, but, you know, I missed a couple of weeks, and I have things to talk about, so we're going to. In case you missed it, Chappell Roan won Best New Artist at the Grammys, and it was quite the competitive category, and she did very well to win. Although, of course, it was incredibly well-deserved. I would shout that until I'm blue in the face. She, when she accepted, obviously did the usual thing of thanking her fellow nominees, thanking her family, but she also got on stage with this yellow notebook where she had pre-prepped an acceptance speech. And I'm just actually incredibly impressed by this, because I think so many people obviously want to have an acceptance speech and look cohesive and coherent and, you know, humble all at the same time, but so many people also don't want to look like they've practiced it or that they have prepped anything, because it looks like, you know, you're assuming you're going to win, and I think there comes with some character assassination there, that you A, think you're the best out there, or you're better than everyone else, or all this and that, and it's not necessarily a good look. She says, fuck that, I'm not going to do that. I am going to go up there with a pre-prepared speech so that I know exactly what I want to say and then I get my point across. And I am so impressed by that confidence and sort of cool, calm, collected nature that she exuded. She is only 26 years old. She's a year younger than me. And I don't think I have half the guts she does. So, Chapa, we're going to take my hat off to you. The speech itself very much focused on the fact that new and emerging artists aren't supported enough, or she feels aren't supported enough by record labels, and that she would request that record labels provide living wage and healthcare to the artists they sign. She's got some real experience with this. Chapel Roan was originally signed by a record label as a minor before being dropped kind of just sort of towards the start of the pandemic, I believe. She then, during the pandemic, had to look for a job, struggled to find a job, and therefore struggled to find accessible and affordable healthcare. She is American, and obviously so much of healthcare insurance is tied up with a wage packet in America, unlike the UK, and I think we're really grateful and really lucky for that. This is obviously something she doesn't have to worry about anymore. She is incredibly successful. She probably has earned a huge amount of money and has no need to worry about living wage. But I really respected the fact she was advocating for people who are much further down the ladder than her now. At the time, the speech was very much met with applause. The clip of her on YouTube accepting the speech on the Grammys YouTube channel shows people like Taylor Swift standing up and clapping for her. And as far as I could see, nobody looked particularly cross. No, there was no booing. You know, it was all taken in stride and the award ceremony carried on as usual. Since then, there has been some backlash, and I believe Chapel Roan has pushed back against the backlash as well. And I think if you're looking for a really clear, coherent example of this, I would recommend looking at the Hollywood Reporter's website and searching for their guest column article written by Jeff Rabin. In case you didn't know, because I didn't, Jeff is the former chair of the Clive Davis Institute of Record Music at New York University, and he is also the co-founder and CEO of boardofed.com, which apparently is an educational platform for consumers and industry professionals. So that to say, he has years of experience under his belt within the music world, especially the American music scene, and understands how record labels work. That aside, I didn't mesh particularly well with his article. I think he makes some good points, I think he makes some interesting points, but the tone he took undermines, in my mind, his argument from the start. The article is titled Chapel Groan, The Misguided Rhetoric of an Instant Industry Insider, with the strapline, the Grammy winner for Best New Artist gets respect and true appreciation for her creativity and gumption, but is far too green and uninformed to be the agent of change she aspires to be today. And his article sort of very much focuses around the idea that what Chapel Roan is asking for is completely unachievable and therefore foolish. And, you know, she may see herself as a new emerging and upcoming artist, but she absolutely isn't. And so she can't even relate to or associate with this crowd anymore. Which is something I struggle with entirely, because I do genuinely think that the rise in fame that Chapel Roan has experienced, I mean, we've talked about it before, the absolutely mammoth way she has shot to the top. Yeah, statistically, she is one of the biggest artists in the world right now, but I think mentally, she probably feels absolutely like a newbie still. And, you know, winning a Grammy is probably rather overwhelming and hasn't maybe really settled, because in so many ways she is still a new artist. And I think two things can be true here. That is, yes, she is a new artist, but also yes, she is no longer an emerging artist. So I see they're both lines of argument here, but I think we have to take Chapel Roan's word how she identifies, because she is the only one living through this in that way. And if she feels she can voice the concerns and worries of those that she views as equals and peers, then who are we to say otherwise? I've grabbed a few sentences from his piece to highlight his argument. What I would say is that they have been sort of snipped from the entire article. They don't follow along from one another. So I have, I guess you could say, tweaked the quotes. And I would recommend reading it yourself. But to summarise, he says, It seems Chapel Rome wants to turn labels into landlords, bosses and insurance providers. Have you ever tried to get your expenses reimbursed from a major label, yet somehow you want them in charge of healthcare claims? Rome may evolve quickly, perhaps build a confab of power-wielding playmakers or even pass the torch to another leader-to-be, but her Grammy speech was a hackneyed and plagiarised script of an artist basking in industry love while broadcasting naivety and taking aim at the very machine that got her there. If labels are responsible for artists' wage, healthcare and overall well-being, where does it end and personal responsibility begin? Rowan's call for record labels to pay artists a livable wage and provide healthcare was noble, but also wildly misinformed. Her rise to stardom, fueled by viral moments, major label backing and an industry desperate for the next alternative pop starlet, proves she's no longer a struggling artist. She should do something about it rather than just talk at it. Change is waiting to be championed, not just announced. And to me, this is where his argument entirely falls down, because I genuinely think that, yes, I guess you could say that change is waiting to be championed and not just announced, but you can't begin to champion it without announcing it first. And I do feel that, yes, she obviously is maybe not an emerging artist anymore, and she does have a lot of power and some wealth, but actually also she is still a very small cog in a very big machine, and she is the minority and the poorer of the two if you're pitching label to artists. And to me, the article screams as of someone somewhat offended that she would dare suggest it and make it the record label's responsibility. And I'm not sure if that offence comes from the idea that he thought about it, didn't think it was possible, and has dropped the idea. He didn't think of it himself. Or if he sees her greenness and her naivety and her being a young woman as a weakness in that kind of way. And I think it misses the point that change and improvements and modernisation often comes from an outsider's perspective that maybe he himself or others like him can't actually apply because they're too caught up in the machine already to see where it falls down and to see that actually, you know, changing things left, right and centre could benefit everybody in the long run. Chapel Rowan has actually responded to this and has said that she donated £20,000 to support struggling artists and actually encouraged Jeff to do the same. And so very much put the ball right back in his court. And I think that in itself shows she's not just talking about it, she is taking action. But again, highlights my point that you need, it cannot just be the artists to be taking this action, because the record labels control so much of the music world. I am obviously not in the music world, so I don't have all the ins and outs, but I think, whereas, yes, it was a powerfully written and well-articulated argument and a strong article, I don't think it's necessarily the strongest argument. And I think that it was maybe written with an internal look on feelings as opposed to an external look at the future and new possibilities. And I think it does a shallow attempt at celebrating the idea of new ideas and revolution within the music industry and sits far too closely on the, well, we've always done it this way, why would we do it any other way? No change is better than trying change and failing at it. And I don't think it's an article that I would have wanted to tie my name to. But hey, you know, he did, and everyone's allowed to have an opinion, and actually without his we wouldn't have had more conversation about it, but a stronger spotlight on the story and, you know, potentially raised more money for struggling artists. And then, you guys, I wanted to talk about something that's so incredibly stupid but like so much fun and just bizarre and actually just very impressive, and that is of course Duolingo and the fact that like this last week or so they've killed their mascot Duo, which is obviously the big green bird. He's kind of like square shaped, everyone recognizes him. They've always been slightly unhinged with their marketing. I think it was the Super Bowl last year, if I'm remembering this correctly, that they had maybe like a 5-second ad within the Super Bowl, and all it was Duolingo's butt exploding, and that was it. And the whole point being no butts, as in there's no reason not to do your Duolingo, there's no butts, there's no nothing, like no excuses, get it done. But an unhinged way of communicating that message. And one that really stuck, you know. They obviously paid huge amounts of money for that slot, and they went with memorable, and it's effective. It works. I still think about it. I think it's really, really clever. But this kind of week, yeah, they have instead gone for a completely sort of 180 approach, and they have killed Duo. And they have committed to the bit so thoroughly that on TikTok, they have posted a eulogy. And I am going to read some of that to you now, just so you can really get a taste of how far they have gone with this. It is with heavy hearts that we inform you that Duo, formerly known as the Duolingo Owl, is dead. Authorities are currently investigating his cause of death, and we are cooperating fully. To be honest, he probably died waiting for you to do your lesson, but what do we know? We're aware he had many enemies, but we kindly ask that you refrain from sharing why you hate him in the comments. If you feel inclined to share, please also include your credit card number so we can automatically sign you up for Duolingo Max in his memory. We appreciate you respecting Dua Lipa's privacy at this time. Guys, it's so clever. And there have been all sorts of TikToks and videos that they have made. We have somebody dressed up as Duolingo, but he's not the huge square mascot this time. He's just got the Duolingo face on, and he's dressed in a green suit. And he's being carried in a coffin by other Duolingo characters. I'm not sure if any of you have it. I do. I'm not sure I'm learning from it, but I do have the app. And there's a few different characters who you do various speaking exercises with and who appear on the app. And they're carrying him basically around in this coffin. But the death itself is just incredibly weird. They've released this video of him being hit by a Cybertruck, and it's just so very specific and funny, but just also really, really weird. And having read a little bit more about it, it apparently is really working. So according to an article on TechCrunch, since making the announcement that Duolingo had died, Duolingo's monthly active Android users jumped 25% over the year worldwide. And apparently downloads on Android jumped 38% on the day after the campaign, with web searches increased by 58%. And they've made the point here that his death by Cybertruck, which is obviously a car made by Elon Musk's car company, is a good way for people to channel their anger at Elon Musk's empire and the current statements he's making and the waves he's making within American politics. It's all very clever. It's all incredibly engaging. And then the second element of this campaign, despite the fact they have already killed Duo and they've put the eulogy up and they've, you know, had the funeral effectively and we've seen the murder, despite all that, the second part of their campaign launched earlier this week, and that was Duo or Die. And basically what the push is that if you complete enough lessons in Duolingo and you keep your learning streak going, you can gain enough points in app to save Duo. And I think it works so well. And I also think, you know, they'll have plans enough in the future that there's no way that actually...
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
You're going to kill Duo fully, completely, because he is just so effective. Like, so many people know who he is or recognize who he is. And he's so flipping dumb. Like, he's this square green owl that obviously has no life behind the eyes because he is a fictional character and a mascot, but it just works incredibly well. I'm obviously a little speechless because I am just so impressed. And I think what's really funny is that we have other brands sort of jumping on this and therefore boosting Duo's and Duolingo's campaign further entirely for free. So the algorithm showed me a video from Penguin, the publishers, and it seems they must have a big plastic penguin sat in one of their offices. And they made this TikTok about, you know, moving Penguin to a secure location because mascots are dropping left, right and centre. And it's them carrying this big plastic mascot while dressed up with dark sunglasses and like radios in their ears and running around like they're members of MI5. And it's just, it's fun, it's effective, it's really engaging, it's kid friendly. That being said, I've not seen a change on my Duolingo app. I just know that you can secure points. I'm either doing it wrong, I'm just not earning enough points, or I am oblivious. I would love to know how long they've been working on this. It takes some serious planning to decide to kill off your mascot in such a viral manner. They had to know it was going to hit. They understand the relationship so many users have with the mascot. I think it's definitely a love-hate. It's so annoying when you get those notifications through to say that you've not done your Duolingo yet, or when you get the notification to say, you know, you've got 30 minutes left of the day and if you haven't done your Duolingo, you're going to lose your streak, X, Y, Z. So I think this has been in the works for, God, a year in at least. And I think it's working very, very well. I think also it gives so much room for them to have utter nonsense in the coming months as and when they bring Duo back to life. And there is so much opportunity to have more viral video moments that work so well on socials. And I cannot wait to see what they do next. Let me know if you've seen anything of the sort. It could be that I'm on a very niche side of the internet, but I don't think I am. And if you are also on this side of the internet with me, I hope you're having as much fun with it as I am. And then finally, guys, something I wanted to talk about, which isn't quite as like fun and flirty. Well, actually, it isn't fun or flirty whatsoever. But I do think it falls within the frothy news cycle. And I do think it's worth talking about. And that is, of course, that Kanye West has supposedly deleted his Twitter account, or X account. At the time of recording, he is still not live on the platform again. But whether or not that stays that way, I think is very much up in the air. We obviously know that in December 2022, his account was suspended, and then it was unsuspended in July 2023. It was suspended then for his anti-Semitic tweets and his praise of Hitler, and it has again disappeared because he, again, was anti-Semitic. He tweeted that he loved Hitler, that he is a Nazi, and obviously got huge backlash because of these comments, because they're just foul. And then apparently posted that he was going to never apologise for his Jewish comment. Following the post, his account obviously was slapped with a sensitive content warning. But that was kind of it. And so it therefore seems that he has pulled the account down himself rather than Twitter suspending it. And I think that's obviously supported by the fact that Elon Musk now owns Twitter. And we are aware of his opinions on free speech and the type of platform he wishes X to become and the type of people he is willing to give a platform to. So unsurprising from the two of them, but still just thoroughly devastating. Sky News reported that apparently just before he suspended his account, Kanye had 32.7 million followers, which is apparently double the size of the Jewish population across the globe. And it just makes me incredibly uncomfortable that so many people were sitting there. I mean, I guess we have to make the argument that they might not all be active users. Elon Musk's ex is definitely an odd place to be, and I imagine that lots of those followers were there back before Elon owned the platform. Whether they are still there actively, I don't know. But for the let's just say it, he's got 32.7 million followers. And the fact that so many of people sat there silently and let him say this is uncomfortable, I think it's fair to say. This, as I said, is unsurprising, but it also comes off the sort of back of a really odd period on Kanye's Twitter feed. I mean, I think it's fair to say he does post some odd things. He has become a more extreme character over the years, and we are aware that he has some out there views. But just to give you sort of a little like taster as to what he's been saying recently, during the Super Bowl, he had a sort of a little bit of a rant at Taylor Swift, unsurprisingly. He said, and I am quoting here, and I'd like you to be aware that he tweeted this in all caps. He is yelling. He said, "If it's about the culture, why are we letting Taylor Swift be seen on TV singing a song about taking a black man down and accusing of things that can take a black man down for life?" Obviously referencing his feud with Taylor Swift that has been up and down over the years, and that, if we're going to be entirely honest, was completely started by him when he interrupted her acceptance speech at the MTV Awards back when she was a teenager and told her that, you know, while she had a great music video, Beyonce should have won, and she didn't really deserve to have won. It's really uncomfortable footage. If you've not seen it already, I would recommend looking it up. It just makes, oh, it makes me squirm. I feel so bad for her. And just actually the presenters as well, who are equally young and look like they don't really know what to do either. Really uncomfy viewing. But, you know, so he's been on a bit of a rampage recently. He also tweeted after the Grammys about his wife, Bianca Censori. In case you don't know, he rocked up with Bianca to the Grammys. He was fully dressed in this like all black outfit. She rocked up in this fur coat that she then dropped in front of the cameras to reveal that she was wearing, like, how do you describe it? A very short, very see-through dress. It was effectively a pair of tights, but dress-sized. And you could see absolutely everything. And I have decided not to talk about that on this podcast, simply because I do not want to put words in Bianca's mouth. I don't quite understand the dynamic and the relationship between the two of them. And I worry that my perceived opinions about the entire situation will turn into me putting words in her mouth, and I don't think that's fair whatsoever. So, you know, she's not commented on it. She did, however, well, her sister did, however, post the footage, and I feel that if your sister's posting it, you're probably endorsing it. I could be completely wrong there. Either way, I've not touched it, but he did post after this whole incident and just said some peculiar stuff, including, and I am reading word for word here, and again, he's tweeting in all caps, so he's yelling at the world. "I have dominion over my wife. This ain't no woke as feminist shit. She's with a billionaire. Why would she listen to any of you dumb ass broke bitches? People say the red carpet look was her decision. Yes, I don't make her do nothing she doesn't want to, but she definitely wouldn't have been able to do it without my approval, you stupid ass woke pawns. I have no respect or empathy for anyone living. No one living can fuck with me, but I do love some people and I give them favour." I think if that doesn't already explain the tone of which Kanye has taken on Twitter, I mean, it does, let's be honest. But yeah, he's had a really wild couple of weeks and has now come off the platform. I would argue for the better. I don't think he is well, and I don't think the things he is putting out are necessarily beneficial, but we shall see how long it lasts, because I suspect he will be back. He thoroughly loves the sound of his own voice too much to not. And then, of course, we've got Popped a Pin, which is something I shallow dive this week, but I'm hoping to come back to. Guys, last week we popped a pin in Alexander from The Traitors, and for those of you who haven't seen The Traitors, aren't sure what it is, he was a contestant on Series 3, which aired in January, and he was on the show to try and win the money to donate to charity in memory of his brother and in thanks of his brother, who had been cared for by this charity when they were both younger. And he didn't win, unfortunately. I hope that's not a spoiler. I mean, it absolutely is a spoiler, but I hope that, you know, those of you who are going to watch it will have watched it by now. You know, we're 16 days into February. But either way, he didn't win it. And despite that, he has had such an impact on viewers, and his personality has been, he has just won over the audience in such a way that people were donating left, right and center in his name, and it's been reported that he has now raised more than £80,000, which is just colossal for a guy who, you know, is your average Joe. You think he worked as a diplomat, so maybe not quite so average, but you get what I mean. He doesn't work in fundraising. He is not some celeb. He, you know, doesn't have a GoFundMe or a great active live cause, if that makes any sort of sense. Instead, he's just come and shared his story and won people over by his sort of charm and charisma, and the audience have loved him. Since then, I think he's gone on to do like a GQ cover and everything, or a Vogue cover. I can't now remember. Either way, this man has found his calling. It doesn't help that he's not bad to look at, and I love it. The Traitors is quite sort of a wholesome reality show, I think it's fair to say. You know, it's not Love Island in any shape or form. And I think this very much demonstrates it. Like, the wholesomeness has carried on and interviewership and extended beyond the show. And I loved it. It made me incredibly happy. I hope it makes you happy too. And then something a little less wholesome for our pop to pin for this week is an article in the Times, which I've not had a proper chance to read yet, but I have actually put up on socials as something I think other people enjoy and have recommended. And it's titled Sex, Elves, and What the Romantasy Boom Says About Female Desire. And I found this on the website, but I suspect it was probably printed in their Sunday paper as well. And it caught my eye because it very much has sort of confirmed to me, or it looks confirmed to me, because I will be honest, I've not read it fully yet. It confirmed to me, or it looks to confirm to me, that there is a boom in romantasy fiction and in new publications or re-releases with, you know, new covers. And I suspected this was the case, but also I'm well aware that I often read in that genre, and therefore things like TikTok and Instagram are my own sort of little echo chamber, you know, Amazon as well, where I buy my Kindle books. And so I wasn't sure if it was, oh, it really is experiencing a boom at the moment, or actually, oh, I just am being fed what I'm looking for. I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever if this is somewhat down to BookTok. The girls over there, well, the girls and guys, but predominantly from my perspective, the girls over there are born saleswomen. I am endlessly impressed with them. The community is so wholesome and so welcoming. Don't get me wrong, it has a dark side at times, and there are arguments in there. We've talked about that before. But If there is a boom, if this article is saying what I think it's saying, and again, I've only skimmed Reddit, then I'm not surprised. But I'll read it and go back to you. And then, of course, lovely listeners, we have some recommendations. There are two this week, very much sort of themed around hobbies and pastimes. So hopefully they're up your street. If they're not, that's absolutely no problem. The first is an app called Fable. It's entirely free, or seems to be so far. I've been using it for a couple of weeks now. And it's an app where you can join book clubs virtually. So, you know, if your friends are running a book club that you aren't able to meet in person, you can kind of read along as you go. There's a chance to have a discussion, you can make notes on the chapters, all of that kind of thing. But the other really cool side of it is that you can sort of tell the app how many books you want to read this year, and then you can log the books as you read them, and you get this really cute little couple of graphics that sort of show you how many books you've read, sort of how far you are through your progress, what your like genres are, who your favorite authors are based on like quantity of books you've read by them. There's a chance to do a little like reading streak. If you're reading daily, you can sort of tick which days you've read, and you know, afterwards you can post reviews on them. There's a chance to have discussions, you can ask other people for recommendations. And it's just quite joyful so far. I really enjoyed it. I found it through a BookToker who had hosted a book club, and I really love her reviews and found that we were reading quite a lot of the same content. So I thought, oh, I'll give it a go. I'll join her book club on Fable. I have joined it. I've not actually actively done anything with it, and I'm not currently reading the book that they're reading. But that aside, I think it's a really great app, so I would recommend it. If you're into reading, if you're not, discard this completely. And then my second recommendation, it's actually a rewatch, and it won't be for everybody, but Taylor Swift's documentary on Netflix, Miss Americana. I loved it at the time, and this week just really needed some comfort TV and some slobbing, and put it on in the background, and actually then watched it intently. It was not in the background, it was very much just on, and I was absorbed. And you know, I mean, I am a Swiftie, I'm a Taylor Swift fan. I don't like to hear criticism about her. I'm not saying she's not without fault, but you know, I think for the most part she's an incredibly hardworking woman with an awful lot of pressure on her shoulders. And this app just once again, it proved to me that she is so deserving of what she has. She does not stop working. I'm sure there are some scenes that have been carefully curated, and maybe directed so that she looks a certain way and she presents a certain storyline. But, you know, that will be the case with any and every documentary around a famous living individual, I suspect. But yeah, I'm nosy. I like it behind the scenes. That's what we got. It's obviously really quite outdated now because it was filmed in 2019, released in 2020. So you're looking at it being 5-6 years old. She's obviously still dating Joe at the time, but he barely features. And they're sort of, a lot of the running storyline is her and her move into sharing more politically and voicing her opinions and concerns and basically stating that she's anti-Trump, which, I mean, I think a lot of philosophers are. But yeah, I don't know. I really enjoyed it. It was really refreshing. And during a very hard week at work and a bit of a slump, it was so nice to see, you know, somebody's hard work paying off, because it currently feels like mine is not. So I'd recommend it. And I'm going to stop waffling about it now. But do watch it if you've got Netflix. I don't think it's a waste of your time whatsoever. If you got this far, thank you so, so much, you guys. And if you've managed to stick around despite an unplanned 2 weeks off, thank you again. It's always appreciated. It's, of course, a small independent podcast. So if you're able to tell a friend or a family member or your nemesis or, you know, your book group, whoever, it would be greatly appreciated. And of course, please subscribe on whatever app you're listening to so you're the first to know when next week's episode drops. It really helps in the charts. And if you like what you hear, you can find us on TikTok and Instagram. Have a lovely week, you guys. Bye.